Blog Talk Radio.
Well, everybody, good evening, and welcome to Charlotte Christian Fellowship Blog Talk Radio. My name is John Davis, and I'm waiting to get online with my brother, Book Alexander, and we welcome you guys to Charlotte Christian Fellowship broadcast tonight, and we have a pretty interesting message that the Lord gave me to share with you guys, and we're going to continue also reading inside of Genesis. We're winding down there, but some pretty important stuff going on because there's nothing new on this earth, nothing. And Ecclesiastes says something like, and we'll look it up to make sure the words are correct, but there's nothing new under the sun, okay? And so we want y'all to understand that what's went on then, you know, will happen again and again and again. And so as we begin to learn this word, that's why Genesis gives us an understanding of where we came from. Those same things that happened back in those days, and we're talking about, and we're talking about those things in Egypt that happened, like those plagues and those type of things that that affected people in those days. And we also had those different bugs, and that attacked the Egyptians and stuff. And we had famine. We had so many different things then that happened today also. So we want you all to know that there's nothing new under the sun. And so as we begin to study the Word of God, we don't want you to be afraid, but we want you to understand that God is in control. He does these things to get us to turn to Him for help. But we don't understand that most of the time when we look for help, we don't look to God. 99% of the time, we go to man first. And the Bible actually tells us, don't put our trust in man. Put all our trust in God. But that's our upbringing. That's our flesh. And so it always pulls that way. And so as we begin to walk this walk and begin to share the Word of God, we should grow in the wisdom and knowledge of God. I want to also, for my brother Book to get on here, I want to introduce you guys a little bit to, this is a live broadcast. I want y'all guys to know that too. And when I say guys, I'm just talking generic, ladies and gentlemen. So I'm talking to both. And so, but we want y'all to understand that God is no respecter person, okay? And so as we begin to walk this thing out and to become who we are in Christ Jesus, it's important that we get a solid foundation. That's what Genesis does. So, again, before I go any further, we want to make sure that you understand this is a live broadcast. So if you want to join in, you most definitely can. Book and I are not the answer people. We're not the answer man. And so we're many parts of the body, and we know that the Lord puts the word into everybody. He gives everybody a gift, and so the little gift together make the body of Christ. So if the Lord gives you something to share as we're sharing the Word of God, please, by all means, participate. We encourage that. If you're listening by ear, by Internet, and you want to participate, you have to call in. So we want y'all to know that. Let me get the number for you here. You have to call in if you want to participate with us. And that number to call in on to this broadcast right here is 657-383-1624. That's if you'd like to call in and to participate. And so, and like I say, if you're not saying anything at the time, then please just mute yourself. But if you are going to say something, please unmute yourself, share what the Word of God has to share, and then mute yourself back again when you finish speaking. But I also don't want you guys to forget about my wife's broadcast that she has every Tuesday night. And I'm going to also let her speak for a second because she has a Christian event that's coming up in October, later this month, and I want her to share that time and date with you guys so you can participate. But to dial into her broadcast on Tuesday, which is called Life's Uncertain Journey. I'm getting old, y'all. Please forgive me. Life's Uncertain Journey. The call in on that number is 929-477-3427. Again, that's 929-477-3427. And so, please feel free to interact with us. Brother Booker, are you on yet? He's not there yet. He'll be on in a couple of seconds. Okay, so, but meanwhile, though, I want to let my wife share the information with everybody about the event that's coming up this October. Mr. David, would you like to share with everyone and tell us about the event coming up?
I'd love to. What we're planning to do is on October the 24th, we're hosting the Women Who Overcome Freedom in Christ virtual conference. It will be a virtual conference that we can attend online. We have several anointed women of God that will be sharing their testimonies with us about how God has helped bring them into a place of freedom. You know, the word says that we overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Jesus Christ has done his part. The blood has already been provided. Now it is our turn to share the testimonies that will help set others free. And so that's what's going to happen. So we're it's going to be from 9:30 a.m. until 6:30 p.m. If you have any interest in participating, by all means, please reach out to us at lifesuncertainjourney@gmail.com. That's lifesuncertainjourney@gmail.com.
And also, while you have the, you also had an interview that's coming up pretty soon that you would like to share with the people.
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, I just this past week had an interview with the Christian Writers Books in Canada, and I will be providing that and on my website soon. And then tomorrow, my husband and I are meeting with M14, which is a new ministry birthed by the Lord and a couple of our longtime friends, Thomas and Natalia Williams. God has given them this ministry. We've watched them be used mightily of God to be able to bring to the public eye those ministries that are, you know, on the ground, doing the work of the Lord. So tomorrow at 6:30 p.m., we will also be doing an interview with them.
Thank you, Mrs. Davis. So, everybody, let me let everybody know a little bit. Do we know the difference between a Christian, born-again Christian, and a disciple? And a lot of people think they're the same thing, but they're not. Let me help you out a little bit. In Romans 10:9-10, it says, let me see here. Hold on. I'm going to give you the right words. It says, if we openly declare out of our mouths and believe it in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead, we will be saved. There's no doubt about it. That's word. I mean, there's no way around it. That's an absolute fact. But we can't stay there. Those are baby Christians. And what happens is, if you don't feed the word, just like anything else, if you got a brand new baby, you don't feed the baby. The baby will starve to death. So, and if you don't feed the baby, also what happens is that the baby then, you know, it just gets, and like a baby Christian, for example, when you don't feed it, it starves to death. And the starving, in this case, means you go to something else to feed you. So if you ain't getting milk from the Word of God, you're getting it from somewhere else, and that'd be the world. So a baby, when it doesn't, that means that the world means that seed that was planted dies. So then that word that was supposed to grow don't. That's why Jesus said, of you a little faith, and if you have the faith of a mustard seed. That's what he's talking about, because we don't ask God and then to help us. And so we're supposed to ask God. The Bible says to us, ask our Father, the Lord Jesus, who's the Lord Jesus Christ, he said to give us spiritual wisdom, not earthly wisdom, spiritual wisdom, and insight so that we can grow in our knowledge of him. We also supposed to pray. And prayer is a very important thing, y'all. And we're also supposed to pray and that for understanding. That we're for understanding the incredible greatness of God's power for us to believe in him. So in other words, the Bible says, pray for understanding that we learn about the power that, about God, who he is. But a lot of times we know who God is, but from reading the book that he created this and he created that, but do we know the power that comes from knowing who he is? And he is our Father. This is the same mighty power that raised Jesus from the dead and seated him at the right place, right on, you know, right hand of God, and in power, you know, and power, you know, and all power. God, when Jesus was raised from the dead, God raised him from the dead, and so because he, when he died, he took our sins away. Those, you know, we nailed him to the cross, and so therefore, as we begin to walk this out in the knowledge of who we are in Christ Jesus, we begin to know that you have to learn that, what that means. And just to say it is one thing, but to actually receive it and believe it and walk in it is a total different thing. Okay? Jesus also said, when the Father sends, he'll send us an advocate. In other words, if Jesus is gone, we know he left and went to heaven. But he sent us an advocate. And the advocate's name is the Holy Spirit. Okay? And he'll tell us everything. The Holy Spirit will tell us everything about Christ. And that's his job. His job is to educate us and to share that, we can use that power. Because if you haven't power and don't know that you have it and don't know how to use it, what good is it? And so a lot of people who are born again Christians, but the thing is, just like a baby, you can be born rich. Come on, financially, this earthly riches here, okay? And you don't know what it is, so you grow up and don't know what money is. And that's what happened to most people. They, when they do have money, they grow up and don't know what it is, and they misuse it, and they broke the next, you know, pretty soon afterwards. Or they have money and misuse it and, you know, and do things that they shouldn't do with it. But the Word of God is the same thing. If you have the power, which God gives us the power, just says it's the Holy Spirit. But if we don't get to know the Holy Spirit and the power that comes from the Holy Spirit of who we are in Christ Jesus, then we're actually walking around dead. We're just like the earthly people. We don't have godly wisdom. So if we don't have godly wisdom, we're using earthly wisdom. Earthly wisdom leads to death. It's foolishness to God. And it does not work. We can't do something and ask God to fix it and make it, you know, make it work. So we want y'all to understand that as we begin to walk this walk out that you know, that Christ has given us, We have to ask Father to let the Holy Spirit of God give us to increase in us so we can know who we are in Christ Jesus. God is willing to help us do that. Okay, now we don't need any further instructions on baptism, or laying on of hands, or resurrection, or of the dead, and the eternal judgment. We don't need no more of that thing because we've read that plenty of times. But God is willing. Okay, so God is willing, we will move forward in the future with understanding. So with the knowledge we have from reading the book, the Bible and stuff, it's no good if you don't, the Bible is a living word. So what he's saying in this scripture here is that we have the knowledge of the, you know, the, we've read about it, people preached about it and all of that, all these things about, like I say, laying on the hands and the resurrection and, you know, the dead and eternal life. But what good is it if you don't believe it? I mean, so, you know, and so we have to believe what we read, or what good is it? We're fooling ourselves. You know, it's like praying to an empty shelf and saying, well, you know, like a lot of people did that in the past. That's why they had these fake gods they made up, because they didn't believe in God, the Father who created everything. And God is a jealous God. So those who he has given us that taste of that knowledge of who he is, let me tell you what happens then. A lot of them turn away. And this is what the Word says. It's impossible to bring back to repentance those who were once enlightened, those who have experienced the good thing of the heaven and then shared it with the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the power of the age to come, and then turn away from God. The Bible says it's impossible. These people here to come back to repentance, that's impossible. I'm just saying, you know, you're going to find people in the last, you know, the end days, which I personally feel we're living in, that what a day means, remember this, though, what a day to God is like 1,000 years. 1,000 years is like a day. So I don't know anybody who lived 1,000 years. But I'm saying that these are the last days, what the Word of God said, in these end days. So therefore now, many people who have walked with God, knew God, because they have a strong foundation, because the things of this world, they're giving up the truth. They're giving up the true thing for the things of this world. And that's what's happening. And so, and the reason that it's happening, because they don't have a strong foundation. That's what the book of Genesis that we're reading gives you the strong foundation. We know where we came from. We didn't come from all this glory, glory stuff. God is glory in us, okay? But our ancestors that we've been reading from all the way, we go Abraham, we can go way back to Garden of Eve, really, because the sin was there, but it happened there. And we come from that generation up here. So the same thing they went through, we're talking about pandemics, we're talking about families, we're talking about poverty, we're talking about prison, we're talking about sicknesses, we're talking about children acting up, talking about marriages, talking about everything. Nothing's new under the sun. Nothing. So we're just giving you the foundation. So there's hope. And that's what we're reading in Genesis. This should give us hope that God can work it out. Okay? Also, and this is the same thing, we're reading Hebrews 6, 1, 3, 6. That's Hebrews 6, verses 1, 3, and 6. It also is impossible to bring such people back to repentance by rejecting that have rejected Jesus. They themselves are nailing him to the cross again and holding him in the public shame. In other words, Jesus ain't coming back again for you. He done did that, okay? And now it's time to receive, believe, and kind of done. And if we don't, that's on us, because it's a one-on-one. I can't get you to heaven. Hooker can't get you to heaven. Your mama can't get you to heaven. The preacher can't get to heaven. And no amount of money you give in tithes and offerings will either. Jesus said that he wants a living sacrifice. So therefore, so when we say, well, we believe in Christ and we follow in Christ, then all of a sudden we turn away because, see, well, he ain't came yet. Well, these people over here in the world living better than I am, and I want what they got. You've given up your what you call your resurrection. You're giving up your heritage. But God says he has in heaven for all those who press towards that mark. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. That's us who are going to press towards that mark. But you got to keep it going. You can't give up in the middle of the stream. That's why I said count the cost. Those of us who have been called, those who he chose, even some of those are going to fall away. That's what he said. And when he said fall away, he ain't talking about the world, because they ain't following him no way. The Bible says in the last days that this ain't going to happen. Booking myself and others on the broadcast tonight are asking you guys to come on and share with us. Remember, this is a live broadcast, like I talked to you before, and that because it's a live broadcast, the Lord has poured his word into all of us, and he poured it into us for one reason, for we can encourage one another, we can share this word, we can read the word, and grow in the wisdom and knowledge of him. I see Brother Booker's online right here now. Brother Booker, welcome on. Would you open us up in prayer?
Thank you so very much. Yes, thank you. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this broadcast that you have given us, Lord God. I ask that you be with us here tonight, Lord God. Lead as we follow. Be with us. Minister to us, Lord God. Allow the Holy Spirit to offer our prayers and our thoughts to you, Lord God. Sometimes we don't know exactly how to say or how to phrase things, but the Holy Spirit does. And your word tells us that the Holy Spirit comes to you on our behalf, even before what it is we need to say. Sometimes we just may have a murmur. Sometimes we may have a grunt or something, but the Holy Spirit knows how to interpret what's in our heart and in our soul to communicate to you of our needs and our wants and our desires, Lord. Father God, I ask that you bless each and every person that's here tonight that's listening to this broadcast, Lord God. I know that your love, your grace, your mercy is sufficient for all, for right where we are right now, Lord God. I just pray that as we seek you, seek your word, seek your truth, that it will find us right where we are to help bring us closer to you, Lord God. I thank you for Jesus Christ, Lord God, who died for all sins, Lord God. He died,
Lord.
Bled, Father, to reunite us to you, to reconcile us, man, you and I, back to you, Father. Father God, you did that out of unconditional love for your creation. And for that, I thank you in Jesus' name. We thank you in Jesus' name, Lord. So as we continue this broadcast tonight, I pray that you would put your word, your divine purpose, your will in each and every one of us, Lord God, so we can have a better not only understanding but communication to you, Lord God, and make that relationship not only close but pure and pure within one another. Father God, we thank you for this broadcast. I thank you for my brother John and sister Nadine for being obedient to the calling that you have placed in their hearts, Lord God, to have this Blog Talk Radio that we are here partaking of tonight. And with that said, Father, we thank you, and we just open up unto your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen and amen. And brothers and sisters, my brothers are praying just then. I was just thinking about what we're reading tonight when we talk about Genesis. If you look at the what we started, well, we just in the top, just go from Abraham up, the blessings, the prophets, you see, the what he went through concerning his wife, the doubt that he had concerning having a child, and the doubt he had when he went to Egypt, and you know, and Sarah got took in hand, the worry that he had about the people and, you know, and those things he went through, and then his sons, and you know how they father got each other and lied, and you know the you know, and then the wife going through having a baby at a late age. And what I'm getting to is the things are impossible for men, God makes possible. God's word is held true. The promise he made to Abraham. And it's that same promise to us too, if it was those who have faith. We have the blessing of Abraham if we have faith. That the what we're reading concerns us because it gives us hope. And when the what's like we're reading about our brother Jacob right here. Let's go before we go to talk about Joseph, we're reading about, but Jacob, for example, this dude right here lied. But remember when he came to his senses when he was on his way to his uncle's house, when he seen the angels coming up and down, he said to the Lord, "Lord, if you take me and bring me back." So he began now to recognize that he's with the Lord, and he knew the Lord, so he could call on the Lord in a time of darkness, in a time of what I'm going to do. See, he didn't have anything and he left. If you remember, he became a slave for the woman he loved. So he went with nothing, but what he had was more than nothing. That was God. See, and when God is with you, who could be against you? And as you see what happened even with my man Jacob, even though his father-in-law was, and that was a double too. Really was his uncle and his father-in-law, okay? And his cousin who he married, both his cousins, there was his cousins, but they also were his wives. So there's a lot of stuff going on there, but we're getting to a point that with nothing, God can make something out of nothing. God did all this. God, if you look at also, I sent something out the other day about does God hate. There's things that God hates, but look what God also said when Sarah's pregnant. He said to her, the younger, the older goes to the younger. Okay? Because Jacob and Esau, they were twins. But God blessed Jacob, and he didn't Esau. But the thing is, if you notice, Esau got earthly blessings, because when Jacob sent things to him to try to make amends, he said, "No, I got plenty, man. Keep what you got." So God is the blessing God. You see what I'm saying? And the reason that Esau was blessed is because of his daddy. The reason Jacob was blessed is because of his daddy. The prayers fell on down. It fell on down. Kept on going. The same thing there, those blessings, is our blessing. That's why when Jesus talked to the Pharisees, he said, they're talking about what Abraham is our father. He said, if Abraham was your father, then you would know me. You see? The thing is, a lot of us say we know God, but we don't know him because we knew God. you don't even know Jesus. Because Jesus said those who know him, you know, we die to our sinful nature. And those who know him become to be like him. But how many of us want to be a form of like him? And that is until a point where we have to say, well, no, I want my way, not your way. And remember on the cross, when Jesus went to the cross, he said, Lord, with the cup, to not my will, but your will be done. But how many of us will say that but won't do that? You see, so that's what we're reading about. We talk about now Joseph, where we at right now. Joseph said when his brother sold him, he realized even then that God was with him. When did he realize it? He realized it during the time when he when he was sold. Because when he left, his brother first sold him, they sold him to the slave trader and stuff like that. But my man, if you notice, he didn't try to run away. He knew, because he knew his daddy, and his daddy passed on the word to him that God was with him. And at the end, when we got to, even that we're reading right now, he said, well, look here, y'all didn't do this, God did this. God will do the same thing with us. We go through many things. Listen, in the New Testament, Jesus told Peter, the devil wants to sift you. He wants to, God's going to let us to be sifted too. The sifting we go through is our testimony where we can tell somebody else and bring somebody else to Christ. If you ain't been through that, how can you tell somebody anything? It's like reading, but telling somebody go swim, you can't swim yourself. Give them a book, they read it. That's a lot of people who give you the Bible, say read it, but you ain't went through that. So what good is that? It's another history book. That's why the Bible tells us, in the Word, it says we must be sifted. We must have a testimony about what Jesus did. If you don't have a testimony, you haven't got a relationship with him, then how can you tell anybody about him? You can tell them what you read, but your actions, you can tell us by our actions. The actions show us that humbleness and, you know, the boldness at the same time for Christ, not for ourselves. And so as we begin to read tonight, just remember in your own life what God brought you from, what he's doing for you and your family, which it looks like a real hard thing. Just God tells us, don't judge a thing before it's time. But a lot of us are judging our brothers and sisters. We're judging people's marriages and stuff. We're judging people's on drugs. We're judging people that is in prison. We're judging people who are in politics. We're judging people who are white, who are black. We're judging people all over the place. We're just judging. But let's look at what the Bible does. God judges when you're dead. We judge them when you're living. That's not like Christ. Now, there is a such thing as righteous judgment. If you got kids and two kids are arguing, your two kids are arguing, you got to go ahead and deal with that. That's judging the situation, but not out of your circle. In other words, there's the judgment that we have to do concerning ourselves, but the outside judging is talking about, well, who's right, who's the right president, who's wrong president. Look, y'all, the Bible says don't get involved in the children of this world. Joseph, let me tell you what God did with Joseph. It was such a blessing that he did that God put him above all the people. And if you look at what happened with Joseph, but we're reading that right now, he had a dream with his kid. Before they threw him away, you know, sold him out to the slave trader, that they were going to bow down. Look what happened. Everybody from his brothers, his daddy, the person who bought him with slave owners, the Potiphar, the guy who the slave owner sold to, all the people, everywhere during that time period fell under Joseph. The man who was least became most. Same thing, Austin does to be least, you become much greatest. And that's what happened. God did that then. Well, we can see a presence today that could happen. It ain't that it didn't, it can, and it will, and it's done more than time. It's done happen many times in the Bible, and we'll bring it up another time. But that's not the first time it happened. It is the first time, but it wasn't the last time it happened. So the reason I'm saying this to y'all is this is your new beginning. Know who you are in Christ Jesus. Because if you don't know who you are, then you will be defeated. The lies that the enemy comes with, these false preachers and teachers out here, and if you don't know the word for yourself, then what do you have to go by but what somebody tell you? Just like I'm talking to you now, but you should be able to go, well, John, where's it at? Well, John, help me find it. Then send me a text or something. We're looking for everything I'm telling you. Matter of fact, what I read tonight is already written down. I can't read it as good as everybody else can, but the thing is, though, I can explain what I read, and therefore, because what I read, I'm doing. I'm pressing towards that mark. Nobody is doing 100%, but we're pressing towards that mark. And the more we press towards that mark, that's the Holy Spirit God sent us, helps us in our weakness. So before we go any further, is there any, I'm going to open up the mic, and is anybody like to share anything before Brother Booker get to sharing? Okay. Well, Brother Booker, we ask you to let the Lord lead you and guide you in your heart, and that you would share that word with us so we would grow in the wisdom and knowledge of God. Go right ahead, my brother.
Amen. Thanks, brother. Thank you so very much. As I was listening, in the words of wisdom is... it's being received for me. There's so many things that's actually going through my mind right now. I would like to reiterate what Brother John is saying about your testimony, about being doers of the word, not only just reading the word and having other people read the word, but that word becoming alive within them, that they go through an experience. And when we go through an experience, there are two type of testimonies. Everybody on this planet has a testimony. We all go through things, some more severe than others, some a whole lot less. But I would like to explain this about the two different testimonies. There's a testimony of this world of what we've done and how we've prospered through it, how we've been successful from it. And that testimony is, in a sense, a boastful testimony of what we've done and how we've come through things, how we have made ourselves better than what we were. I don't care if it's something simple as I used to be an alcoholic, and man, with my willpower, I stopped drinking all in one day.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be a drug dealer. I used to be a thief. I used to be this. I used to be that. But I've written a book to explain to you, if you do what I did, you can get the same results. Listen, that testimony is selfish. It's self-centered. Has nothing to do with God. Because the second testimony that we have, that every man has, is what God has done on our behalf.
Amen.
Though we may have power and authority to change things, it's not you and I that change them. It's the word of God that we read, that we receive, allow within us to make that change. And when that becomes the change, it's nothing that we've done under our own power and authority. It's the power and authority of the word that has been deposited within us that causes us to want to change. Why? Because we've been convicted of the word of God, the power and authority of God. And it doesn't force us, but it creates in us that we want to change. We want the word to work on our behalf. And when we give testimony, it's what God has done within us and through
Amen.
Us. It's not about what I've done. I used to be this. Now I'm this great man, a great woman, and I do this for Christ. No. I think we have it all wrong, and we hear too much of that. This is why Brother John and I felt it's so necessary that we get to know who God is. And when we get to know who God is, we understand the authority and the power that we are under versus mm-hmm. self. When we get to know who Jesus is, we get to know Jesus, their power and authority that he has through God the Father. Then we begin to understand ourselves and how to allow the Word of God to operate in our lives. Will we get it all right? No, of course not. We see it in testimony after testimony after testimony of what is written here in Genesis that we have been studying. And sometimes people can say, how is it that a man or woman of God can believe in God but yet do some treacherous things in their lives?
Yep.
I've come to this decision for me. It's not about me, because God has already said, man, because of the fall, because of the curse, the sin, your heart is wicked. Your heart will continue to be wicked until you submit yourselves under my power, my authority, and allow my word to bring about cleansing within you. Allow the Holy Spirit to subside with you, to change, because there's a war going on between the flesh, that sinful nature, and the spiritual being that God has given us, which is the Holy Spirit. So when we see men and women doing some things that are contrary to the Word of God, I believe this happens more often than not. Mm-hmm. We take the law and apply the law to our lives without the understanding that God has made with Abraham. It's not because Abraham was good. It wasn't that Abraham was obedient to the law. God says, because of your obedience to me, you believe in me through your faith, Abraham. And through your faith, Abraham, I will bring about nations after you. And because you believed, Abraham, through faith, then the whole world can be restored back to me through faith, not by our works, not by the law, though we will apply the law to ourselves in what we do for Christ. And that can be a real big misunderstanding, because when we do things wrong, we are so quick to bring judgment and critique God's people of how can you call yourself a Christian to be godly when you're doing these things? How is it that you have two and three wives? How could you be led in this sort of situation? How can Abraham, that you have a wife, Sarah, and yet she's so beautiful, and it comes to Egyptians, you say you believe in God, but yet you tell Sarah to tell them that you are my sister? Because I'm afraid that they are going to not only take you, but they're going to kill me because of you, because of your beauty. We have to understand it's our faith and believing in God. God didn't say, I want you to be perfect. He knows that we are not perfect. As a matter of fact, as we read in Genesis, during the creation of man and woman, he knew from the beginning that man wouldn't be perfect. He knew that already.
That's right.
So he gave us, he already had a plan developed for us to be redeemed back to him through his son, Christ Jesus. Yeah. And through Christ Jesus, the same thing applies that he told Abraham. Because of your faith, you believing in me, trust in me. Through our faith, confession of faith with our mouth, that we believe in Christ Jesus, that he died, was raised from the dead, we are set free. We're set free from what? We're set free from the slavery, from the bondage of sin, from the bondage of that law. We have been set free. But we must continue to have faith in God's word. And when we see Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and so on, and their children, it's the faith. It's the faith in God that brings us from one point to the other. And as we've seen here in Jacob, Jacob believed in God. Even though he went through some things, even with his children, it didn't change his outlook and having faith in God. Because he has faith in God, God blessed him and his children that the 12 tribes came from.
Amen.
Even to this day. And when we see the 12 tribes, we knew that a lot of them was still wicked. They was doing things that we can look back and see if we try to apply the law would condemn. But it's through faith, belief in God is what changes things. Again, with Joseph being sold into slavery, his own brothers wanting to kill him, but instead sold him into slavery. We can only imagine the feelings, the emotions that he went through, that these are the people he grew up with who's supposed to love and protect him, wanted to kill him, yet sold him into slavery. But because of God's word, Joseph understanding the wisdom of God, trusting God, he came to the belief, listen, not only have I forgiven you, brothers, but it wasn't you that put me into slavery. God did this.
Hallelujah.
Why? He have now an understanding. He have a revelation of what God has done through him. It's to save your life, to bring you out of bondage. Brought you to the land of Egypt, and Gershom gave you the best land in Egypt, where you prospered as a people. God did this. It wasn't you that put me in captivity. God did it for his divine purpose and his divine will. When we begin to understand these things, we can walk right in God, because it's God who calls us righteous. He called us saints. We can't call ourselves saints, though we try to do it. We give ourselves all these different kind of titles. We can go to any kind of school to get a title and say that we are this and we are that. But if God haven't called you and put the desire in your heart to do things in the Christendom zone, we're doing it all for fake reasons. God doesn't recognize it.
Mm.
Even with the Pharisees and Sadducees who knew the law. We talk about Paul. Before Paul was converted, Paul knew the law. He studied the law. He studied the law so much to the point that he followed the letter to the T. Go out and kill and crucify them believers. Crucify them until God got a hold of him and put his power and authority in Paul. Paul didn't go to no other schools. Matter of fact, he didn't talk to any apostles or anybody for several days. For several weeks, it was the Holy Spirit that deposited in Paul God's word, his love, which changed Paul's entire outlook.
Yep.
Paul now have a revelation of who God is, who Jesus is, that he went from that point on spreading the gospel of Christ.
Amen.
Was Paul a perfect human being? No, he was not. Did Paul get it all right? No, he did not. Even the things that Paul went through, his trials, his tribulations, even until death, Paul accredited it all to God.
Mm-hmm.
Everything he understood was accredited to God. He was thankful that the truth had been made known to him. Same thing with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, is even us today. But we must have this understanding of who God the Father is, who Jesus, our Christ, Lord and Savior is, and who the Holy Spirit is. Let that be our guide. This also reminds me what Brother John was actually talking about in 2 Peter chapter 1. And it's actually verse 1 all the way down through verse 15. But I want to read that chapter. 2 Peter.
2 Peter what, bro?
2 Peter chapter 1.
Mm-hmm.
It's, let me try to go through this real quick.
Okay.
This is, it's the growth, and it says in Christian virtue. It's actually, it's growth in Christ virtue, because back then the name Christian hadn't come about. We was actually believers. We believe in Christ. And here it is, verse 1, is Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle, a special messenger, personally chosen representative of Jesus Christ. And he says, to those who have received and possessed by God's will a precious faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 2 says, grace and peace, that special sense of spiritual well-being, be multiplied to you in the true and intimate knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. I want to read that again because it says, grace and peace, that special sense of spiritual well-being, be multiplied to you in the true and intimate knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So we have to have knowledge of who God is. We have to have mm-hmm. knowledge of who Jesus is. Verse 3 says, for his divine power has bestowed on us absolutely everything necessary for a dynamic spiritual life and godliness through truth and personal knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. I want us to see this through truth and personal knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. So if you and I don't have personal knowledge of who God is, who Jesus Christ is, we will not know his glory and his excellence, and we will not know how to live in, because we don't have any personal knowledge. Yes, people tell us things, but like Brother John said, it's our responsibility, especially nowadays, to go back and read the Word, to get the Word in us, to understand the Word, and start living out what the Word says. Don't be afraid to mess up. Don't be afraid to mess up. Let's not allow the law that was applied back in the day, even till today, interfere with having personal knowledge of God the Father and Jesus the Son. Because when we have that knowledge of who God and Jesus is, we will not be persuaded to go a different way. When we hear his word, we'll know if it's divine truth that's coming from God, the Holy Spirit, Jesus. We'll know this. Won't be tossed to and fro because we have personal knowledge of who God in Jesus is. Verse 4 says, "For by these he has bestowed on us his precious and magnificent promises of inexpressible value, so that by them you may escape from the immoral freedom that is in the world because of disreputable desire, and become sharers of the divine nature. For this very reason, applying your diligence to the divine promises, make every effort in exercising your faith to develop moral excellence."
Mm-hmm.
So we have to make every effort in exercising our faith to develop moral excellence. Not by trying to keep the law. We mess up so much. By trying to keep the law, it's about the faith in what God has put in us. It's about his faith. Now it says, verse 6 says, "And in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, steadfastness, and in your steadfastness, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly affection, and in your brotherly affection, develop Christian love that is learned to unselfishly seek the best for others and to do things for their benefit." Just that alone, there's no way that we can be involved in politics the way some of us are involved. Oh, I'm a wholehearted Republican, I'm a wholehearted Democrat, and this is how things go. All you Democrats are this, and all you Republicans that. No. We're not practicing what the Word just said. We're not looking for to be unselfishly and seek the best for others and do things for their benefit. If we're condemning somebody else for what they may believe in is political stuff, that I'm telling you, it's not of God. Verse 8 says, "For as these qualities are yours and are increasing in you as you grow towards spiritual maturity." Read that again. For verse 8, "For as these qualities are yours and are increasing in you as you grow toward spiritual maturity." It doesn't say as you grow to spiritual maturity. It says as you grow toward it. So it's something that we have to constantly seek. We are seeking maturity. You don't automatically become maturity. We have to practice these things, read these things, get the words in, and grow toward it. They will keep you from being useless and unproductive in regard to the true knowledge and greater understanding of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is blind, short-sighted, closing his spiritual eyes to the truth, having become obvious to the fact that he has cleansed, that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, believers, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. Be sure that your behavior reflects and confirms your relationship with God. For by doing these things, actively developing these virtues, you will never stumble in your spiritual growth and will live a life that leads others away from sin. For in this way, entry into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly provided to us. It says to you. I'm going to stop there because the time is getting near, but as we read and study the book of Genesis, we see this taking place before our very eyes. And as we see the life of Joseph, what he has been through, this has been taking place in the life of Joseph. And because it has taken place, he doesn't accredit anything. He doesn't accredit anything to the devil. Nothing to the devil. The stuff that he's been through, he doesn't credit any of that to the devil. Though we know that the devil is out there and the devil is busy, what he does give, he accredits everything to God.
Yes, he does.
Preparing him, preparing his family for what God's will is, what God's purpose is through him, and through him, his father, his father's father, and so on. It lives on to us through this day. It's by faith in God, allowing God to use you and I for his purpose and his will, not that of ours, but his. But will we make mistakes along the way? No doubt about it. No question. Yes, we will. But continue to have faith and working towards through the word. It will continue to build us. And that, my brothers and sisters, is where I pray that you and I will continue to develop in our lives.
Yes.
Have that relationship with God, that God can use you and I and give us his testimony for others to lead them from their sin into the marvelous light of Jesus Christ. It's where we'll find not only salvation, we'll be redeemed through Jesus Christ. And we'll live in total freedom instead of being bondaged by the things of this world.
Amen.
Amen. I hope that.
Brother, you hit it on the nail. You hit the nail on the head a couple of times all through that right there, man. And that's why when we started off this morning, this either saying that there's a difference between the Romans 9 and 10 where you're just saying, well, you're accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Booker just read to you in 2 Peter right there, 1 all the way 1 through 11, it says, we got to grow in the wisdom of knowledge in God. See, so we can't stay babies. We can't just stay in that one verse. We got to grow. And that's why Joseph, when he got to the point, well, he didn't say, well, devil did this or devil did. He gave all the glory to God in spite of what he went through. That's where we got to be at, y'all. The book of reading, he told you about the Old Testament. I told you, we're talking about the comparison, the Old Testament and the New Testament. Booker gave a perfect example of the old and new coming together as one. And we're the same way today. That's what he was telling about now, reading the New Testament and talking about the Old Testament. So, Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you, dear Father in heaven, for the word that you shared tonight, Lord. We thank you, dear Father in heaven, because you love enough to be yourself to us. And dear Father, without you, Lord, letting us go through these things and going through them with us, Lord, because your word says you never leave us nor forsake us, Lord. And that, dear Father, have you showed then that all things work together for those who are in Christ Jesus. Lord, help us, Lord, to remember that. Help us, Lord, to encourage one another, Lord, to not look down on the situation and say, the devil did this and the devil did that, when you're the one that's bringing us through. It's you, dear Father in heaven, that we got to give the honor and glory to, Lord. To help us, dear Father in heaven, to realize that you are in charge of everything, that we will always give you, Lord, all the honor, the glory, and the praise in Jesus' holy name. And so, brothers and sisters, we thank you very much for joining us tonight. We ask you all to be blessed, and we just look forward to seeing y'all again next week. To God be the glory. Good night, everybody.
Amen. Good night.